Mac, big question, and this just kind of dawned on me earlier. What do you think you waste the most of in your life? And keep in mind, I'm not referring to the people's time.
Smashed me, smashed us. What do I waste personally the most in my own life?
Mm-hmm.
I waste my own time quite a bit.
Let's get past time. Let's move on from time.
I buy a lot of dumb shit.
So money.
Money and time, mostly. But, like, I'll dedicate 30 minutes. If I'm in an argument with a friend or on the Twitter machine, I might take 30 minutes and just look through the internet to double check stuff, which is a total waste of time. No one cares. No one cares at all.
It dawned on me earlier that I waste more paper towels than I actually use.
Oh, I'm pretty efficient with my paper towel usage. Now, the whole thing here, though, if you buy a crappy paper towel, you're going to use like four times.
I got great paper towels, and they're even cut into like the perfect rectangles, too. They aren't the big squares.
No, I'm a rectangle paper towel guy, too, because that's all you really need if it's a good one. But these fucking cheap fucks that buy the, you know, the off-brand ones, it takes three paper towels to do the job of one rectangle of the good paper towels. You're better off buying the good ones because it doesn't cost three times as much. It might be $1, $1.50 more, but you're better off getting the good quality paper towel.
I'm pulling out like two or three every single time when I just need the one. And then I'm just like wiping it real quick and just throwing them all away.
You also have a small child though. So like paper towels, you probably go through half a roll.
My kid doesn't use paper towels. He's got baby wipes.
You cleaning up after the child.
No, he can clean up after himself. That's his job.
One goo, three,
Mac and goo.
Jaws 3.
Mac and goo.
King of Queens.
Mac and goo.
Meryl Streep.
Mac goo.
Entertainment.
I'm Goo.
And I am Mac.
And we're the Mac and Goo program. We bring you Friendshiply.
Did you plan the Gudo Master to my Judo Maxter here?
I mean, I did it for myself because goo
but
and
had
Jew
you
rhyme.
Had you seen mine?
No, I had mine first.
Well, I might have had mine first.
Don't
know that.
I'm going to say this, is that you should have capitalized Mac in your word because...
Subtle.
I didn't even realize it.
Subtlety is the name of the game here.
Subtlety is not the name of Mac and Goo's game. We're anything but subtle.
Subtlety is not the name of this show or anything really James Gunn does these days, Goo. Today we are talking... Peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Peacemaker goo. And off the top, before we ever went into this show, after we saw The Suicide Squad last year, 2021,
mm-hmm.
I think we were all sort of like cautiously optimistic for this show because it's a character nobody knows. But with James Gunn, that's almost a good thing, right? Almost the best thing is that you have no preconceived notions other than what you saw in The Suicide Squad, and that does play into my thoughts on the show here. But I really like the idea of giving James Gunn a relatively unknown property and letting him play in that sandbox.
And also giving him a team to work with, because when you have a team of characters, that's when he's at his best. But this one might have had, obviously the show is about Peacemaker. He's the titular character, so maybe a little too much on Peacemaker.
Yeah, I would say, so we've obviously seen him now do two Guardians movies. He did The Suicide Squad. He did Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
He did two of them, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think he just wrote those. I don't think he directed. You could argue, you know, Scooby-Doo aside, this is pretty easily the worst group effort. Now, I like all of the characters, but as a group, it's not nearly as good
Here's
as
the
Guardians.
I agree with you. I like all the characters. I don't love any of the characters.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, you know, and it is sort of unfair because this is a show and not a movie, but the Guardians and the Suicide Squad were just a notch, a level above what we got in this show. And that's, I mean, that might sound like we're criticizing this show, and it is to an extent because we're comparing James Gunn against himself.
Yes.
But at the same time, as far as like group dynamics for shows go, one of the better ones we've seen in a while.
Because I would say this show is perfectly adequate. It is perfectly fine, but it never goes above and beyond what I wanted. And this might be an expectations thing with me because, and I don't know why, but I was expecting more lulls, more laugh out loud moments.
Yeah.
I might have only gotten three in the nine episodes.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of the issue with the show for Mac and Goo is we had sky high expectations the closer and closer we got to the show. And it's not even that I disliked a lot of what we got. I just thought I was going to have more laughs, you know, more hijinks.
Yeah.
And it was more subdued than I thought it was going to be.
Because I don't even really hate anything that we got either. Like, kind of over having the white supremacist villain and stuff because that's kind of played out. And, you know, off-world stuff. Like, it wasn't that a lot of this was generic, but a lot of it was good. It wasn't bad, but none of it was great.
Yeah, I might agree wholeheartedly, I guess is what I'm looking for there. And I might be
100% with you.
I might 100% agree with you. And we're running into an issue I can already tell. Like, our worst reviews are things that we liked but didn't love.
Yeah.
And I think this is the path we're going down.
But I will say this, is that they do have a joke in this that is something that we talk about every single team up / like sideshow where you're like, well, where is everybody? So they do have a decent joke here with that. We'll discuss it in spoilers, but give them credit for that.
Okay. All right. Goo. Let's get into the nuts and bolts here.
Yeah.
Peacemaker was an HBO Max release, releasing weekly on Thursdays, but they did give us the first three episodes in week one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a TVMA action, adventure, and comedy with 8 episodes total. That came to 342 minutes, or about 42 minutes and 45 seconds per episode, which I think the length was fine. I had no issue with length.
You like the length?
I thought that 8 episodes as well. There wasn't a ton of fluff in here. They did a good job telling their story. Even though I might not have loved the story, there wasn't a ton of fluff in the story. 8 episodes at 42, 43 minutes was a good job.
Did you like the 3 episodes at first and then the 1 a week for this show? Do you think it fit well?
With no real payoff in the season, I think bingeable would have been better
but
for me.
But I also think the season finale was its best episode, question mark?
I think the first episode was the best episode.
The first episode was also good. Good bookends.
Yes, there you go.
So those of us who don't like to read, it's perfect because I usually read the first page and the last page. I fill in the middle with my own thoughts.
And they do something in the first episode and beginning of the second episode that I thought the show was going to be more tonally like that, and they went away from that after the first two, but we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
Go on Rotten Tomatoes. This has 95% from the critics, 88% from the audience, both of which is currently the highest in the DCEU.
Shows are different, though. Shows are weird.
Okay, to that point.
Almost to the point, though, that if a show does not have 100%, there's something wrong with it.
Okay, to that point, this is technically the first and only show in the DCEU.
Yeah.
Now, that could change when the Flash movie comes and maybe it'll rope things in, but this is currently the only show in the DCEU. The top three scoring movies, Goo, The Suicide Squad, obviously attached to this.
My favorite.
Came out last year. 90%, 82%, which is the matching scores of Shazam at 90%, 82%.
Love that movie,
those
too.
Those are my
yep.
top two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wonder Woman's actually the highest scoring one at 93%,
good movie.
83%.
Yep. It's a good movie.
So that's the top three in movies. And on Metacritic, Goo, this has a very nice, a very fitting 69. And again, the three top movies on Metacritic, Wonder Woman has a 76, The Suicide Squad with 72, Shazam with 71. And I think that's the consensus three best DC movies right now, you know, not Nolan, but obviously the DCEU we're talking about here. And so I think we're sort of doing it a disservice comparing the show to that. But at the same time, this is probably also a step above all of the other movies.
No, I agree. I think this is sharper writing. You definitely, by the end of it, and it takes you all the episodes, you do semi-care about the characters. And we got roped into it with James Gunn, but I also knew that getting a ton of Peacemaker means you're also getting a ton of Cena. And I don't dislike Cena. And I think he did a very good job here. And especially by the end of the season, I think that he really hit on all those notes. But the Peacemaker character, I don't love.
I get what you're saying, but I actually really liked almost all of the characters. It was just what they were doing I didn't care about. The motivations and the main story I didn't care about, but I actually liked the characters as individuals. And so I think, you know, and it's already been renewed for season 2. I think in a season 2 with a better villain and a better story from beginning to end, I think these characters might play up even better.
Possibly, but, yeah.
We'll see.
I do want to say, too, that I think it works really well being a TV show where they're not relying on a box office return because they can just get as gruesome as they want.
Sure.
Which
yeah,
works into what James Gunn does best, even though he
but
didn't
also,
do it his best
I also,
here.
That's what I was going to say. I also feel like he was held back, and not by HBO, but by DC, because DC still doesn't know where they're going. So I'm sure there were things he wanted to do, and they were like, nah, we can't do that because we
don't know
where this movie's
going.
We don't know where that movie's going.
Oh, they know just where I've been.
Goo, this show has been, is created by James Gunn, and he wrote all 8 episodes, directed 5 of them.
Yeah.
The other 3 directors were Brad Anderson, Jody Hill, Rosemary Rodriguez, if anyone cares. This is his baby here. He created this show. He took a character for the Suicide Squad that no one really knew about. No one knew who the fuck Peacemaker was, did. No one's really read Peacemaker comics. So he was able to sort of take Peacemaker and make him what he wanted to. And also it's come out the last few weeks where, especially in the show, Cena said Gunn just sort of let him do whatever he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Once Cena was in character, he just said, whatever you feel is right, go for it. And so I think you see over the course of this show a much different character than what we saw in the Suicide Squad.
Well, he was able to, you know, be in an open world by himself.
Right, and he's dealing with everyday emotions as opposed to this 2 or 3 day ramp up in this big, huge movie,
yeah.
And then we don't get to see the aftermath. And so this show is really the aftermath of big events like that.
Yeah.
Goo, synopsis. Picking up where 2021's The Suicide Squad left off, this action-packed series finds Peacemaker returning home after a miraculous recovery from his encounter with Bloodsport, only to discover that his freedom comes at a price.
And, you know, it's not about just killing anyone in sight to get peace. He knows that there's consequences for that now.
Yeah, and right off the rip, you know, it's an Amanda Waller-based thing. You know, she has people assigned to him and says, okay, you don't have to go to prison if you do, you know, work for this team for me. And I'm kind of over the Waller thing. I don't think it's really working for DC. It's just, she has no gravitas. You know?
I enjoyed her in The Suicide Squad. I did not like her in Suicide Squad.
Okay. All right. Well, Goo, this show stars John Cena as Christopher Smith / Peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally thought he was great. I thought he did a great job.
No, I thought he was good.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's a disagreement.
Let's keep track of those disagreements.
Danielle Brooks as Leota Adebayo, probably the most polarizing character on the show.
Yes, I would say so.
I think they really efforted to make her story the B story of the season, and we don't really care about her that
no,
much.
No, all of the other characters besides Cena, all of their stories have just gone into like a big ball of gum.
Yeah.
By the way, that's the worst analogy I've ever fucking said.
It made sense. It made sense. It gets all chewed and mushed together. But out of bio story, they intentionally made it stand separate from everyone else's.
Yeah.
And I don't think I cared about it at all.
I didn't really care either.
That's a big part of the issue with a lot of the stories and plot points in
yeah.
the show. Goo, Freddie Stroma as Adrian Chase / Vigilante. I thought he was great too.
I thought he was good. I didn't necessarily think he had a great batting average. And his slugging percentage wasn't very good either.
I thought they needed him because they made Peacemaker more humanized.
They definitely needed
the
him. I don't necessarily think he was the best, though.
Okay. All right. Goo, Chukwudi Awuju as Clemson Mern. He was fine.
Yeah.
He was fine.
Did his job.
He was the guy that was in charge. Jennifer Holland as Agent Amelia Harcourt. She might have been the best character of the season.
Max in love.
I do like the way that her head attaches to her body. That's for sure. Goo, Steve Agee as John Economos. He's the big beardy guy. And I thought he was really good, actually, too.
Yeah. Did you like the running joke with the beard?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I was in on that. And I especially liked the episode where Cena names like 50 things.
Yeah, that was
that
good.
The beardy. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
Goo, Robert Patrick, all-time great dickhead. Just a perfect bastard face, plays, I guess, the quote unquote villain or the second villain in the show. We'll get into that. He's Augie Smith, Peacemaker's father, aka White Dragon.
Obviously, very important in the backstory of Peacemaker.
Yeah. Yeah. He just, I don't know. I like Robert Patrick, but he didn't do much.
Well, I also thought all of the side quests that involved the white dragon and like the white supremacists and everything kind of took away from the rest of the story.
Yeah, I agree for sure. We didn't necessarily need that. We get it. Just like grappling hooks, right? We get white supremacists do white supremacist things. You don't really have to dive into it.
We don't need to have like the bad guys be Nazis. We know. Like it's tough. You need, personally, I like a villain where you're like, wait, are they right? Technically, right. These people are right. They're alt-right, but...
Fucking nailed it.
The Iceman cometh.
Smoked ya.
Good, and then we'll get to some of the more supporting characters here. Annie Chang as Detective Sophie Song, also known as Eekstock Ick-Ick. Did I get that right?
Eekstock Ick-Ick.
That was the only butterfly that was given a name on the IMDb cast list. So,
okay. Did you like her pre or post butterfly? And that's semi-spoilery, but that happened a while ago.
No, it's part. That's the main plot of the season.
Did you like her pre or post butterfly?
I thought she did a good job at both.
Yeah.
When her character makes the flip, I believed it. You know, it wasn't like, I'm not here for this.
As opposed to the other really fella. I think the other fella kind of stunk.
The smaller white guy or the tall, skinny guy?
Yeah, the smaller white guy, the one from
her partner there.
Riverdale.
That's Lachlan Monroe as Detective Larry Fitzgibbon.
Yeah.
He was a little more cheesy and campy than Sophie Song was.
Yes.
And then we had Christopher Heyerdahl as Captain Casper Locke. He was the guy on the inside from the jump, the tall, skinny policeman that
Casper is right. That ghoulish face.
Honestly, he's creepy looking. He should just be in horror movies and that's it.
He actually plays the Scream Mask. Got him.
I'm assuming this gentleman did what Sean Gunn has done in other James Gunn stuffs.
Yeah.
Things. Mm-hmm. D. Bradley Baker plays Eagly.
Yes.
So I bet they had a guy in a suit doing eagle things, which I want to see the background footage of.
Give his brother some more work, but that's fine.
And then I think my favorite character of the season, Nut Lee as Judo Master. Every single time Judo Master was on screen, I laughed.
You also, every single time. You know, you identify with him. The guy loves Cheetos.
Yeah, well, he likes the Flamin' Hot Cheetos. It's too much for me. I'm a big
Flamin' Hot Cheetos is where it's at. Flaming Hot,
just give me the regular. Give me the regular.
You know what's great? The crunchy. Flaming Hot Baked Lays.
Oh.
Yeah.
But is the lay too thin to really get a good Flaming Hot on?
No, because the Baked Lays is a thick,
baked,
crisp.
You said. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that is different. And then, Goo, we have some spoiler.
Let's save that for the end. Because
cameo stuff here.
That's pretty fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of it, so we'll get to that in the spoilers there. But, Goo, let's start off. What took the internet by storm here from episode one is this fucking 1 minute long dance intro to the show.
Do you really want to taste it? We just made a GIF.
I watched it once, but I said, not for me. I don't need to waste my time on intros.
I watched it twice, so credit to me.
Hey, I think we're two of the few here, there's a lot of people that will watch the intros every time. I'm mashing skip.
I will watch an intro every single time if it's like less than 30 seconds. Like
give me 8 seconds.
I love the theme of like Stranger Things. Like that's an amazing, you know, it puts me in the mood for the show. If they're doing the full for like New Girl, give me that. That's just delightful. But this is a very, very long intro. I got a good laugh out of it the first time. The second time, I'm like, okay, I get it.
You know what New Girl did right, actually, was the second intro. Who's that girl?
Yeah, they cut it down.
That's it. 7 seconds, 3 seconds, 5 seconds.
Hey,
that's all you need.
Hey, girl, what you doing?
I don't have time. We just went over it at the beginning. I already waste enough time in my life. I can't waste 2 minutes on show intros. I can't.
Although I do think one of the funniest things in entertainment is when the theme song is longer than the episode. I would be fine if they had a half an hour theme song and then like 3 minutes of content and then end credits.
It's like a Michael Jackson music video where the music video is 17 minutes, but the song's only three.
Well, it was the SNL sketch Astronaut Jones, where it was 90 seconds of Tracy Morgan singing and then him telling an alien to take her top off. And then they'd go to the end credits.
Goo, I want you to explain to me or talk to me about how this show stacks up against the Marvel shows we've seen in the last year.
If I like it better or...
Well, this is what I'll get into. Yeah. Let me explain it a little bit. So I'll lead it off here. I actually think this show thematically feels a little more like the Marvel Netflix stuff than it does the Marvel Disney stuff.
I think it's of like filmmaking wise, like higher quality, because some of the stuff on the Netflix shows looked a little more CW-ish, if you know what I mean by that.
Yep. No, I get that. Yep.
Also, besides the fight choreography in Daredevil and then some of the action in The Punisher, a lot of the powers that was used in the Netflix universe there was very, very wonky. This didn't really have that.
So let me kickflip off that. I take it up a notch, and I describe it as sort of what the Marvel Netflix shows could have or should have been had Marvel been all in on them from the beginning.
Yes.
Right?
So what I would say is that what I want for when they eventually make a Daredevil show, or what I want from like Moon Knight, is I want this level of gore, swearing, sex. I want all of this stuff on the Disney Plus show, but I don't think we're going to get that.
Well, and because, and I think it fits a lot like the Marvel Netflix stuff does, because this is kind of dark and gritty like those were, and it's also not really attached to anything.
Yeah.
Those Marvel Netflix shows didn't really attach to anything other than the Defenders. They also cut out the fluff. So again, best version of what that Netflix show, those Netflix shows could have been. We did 8 episodes here, not 12, not 13, but somehow I think I still, like, if I was ranking this up against the Netflix seasons, this is not even top 3 for me.
Up against the Netflix seasons? No, I would still take all 3 Daredevils over it. I would take the
first season of Jessica Jones, Punisher season one.
Yeah, I would still take all those over it.
So it's sort of a weird thing that it did a lot of what the Marvel Netflix stuff didn't do, but the story itself just wasn't that good compared
Well,
to
like
stuff.
I said, though, I feel like this show is like right on that Mendoza line of like me liking it and thinking that it's not average, but it's not great. It's good.
I'm having a hard time really rating it in my head because like I liked all the characters, you know, the idea of it is fun and funny, but I just did not care about the main storyline, the butterfly storyline.
Yep.
It was almost
or the side storyline either.
Yeah, it was almost completely meaningless to me. And it just, I feel like the lack of a good villain and, you know, and the butterfly stuff really put a cap on how good this season of television was.
And even the
be.
Butterfly stuff, when they tried to make you think at the end of the season, like, you know, oh, that's what these guys are up to. And then it's just immediately over.
Yeah. And so ultimately you're sort of left with this feeling that Peacemaker's dad or Peacemaker's past is really the villain in the show, right? Mm-hmm. That was the main real takeaway at the end of the season. That's what really
Much
ultimately
like most
changed
of us in life,
Peacemaker.
Our past.
And so that it's just, it's a lot of work for just the one character, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. It was just, it was a bit of a grind at times.
Yeah.
That said, this did have like 1,000% more humor than any of those Netflix shows. But that's, you know, that's a gun thing. So you would say probably not better than Daredevil, right?
No.
Better than Jess Jones season 2 for sure.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen Jess Jones season 3.
All 3 Daredevils, first season Jessica Jones, first season Punisher. Everything else is better than.
All right, gotcha. And so now let's talk about the new Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Is it better than Loki?
No.
No, I don't agree.
No.
I do agree. Better than Hawkeye?
No.
No. Better than WandaVision?
No.
I'd say no too, and I didn't even love WandaVision.
And then I think it's quality-wise, comedy-wise, it's better than The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And
it
then,
just has a way better pulse than Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Correct.
Beat
and
beat
then
from beginning to end.
I mean, like, What If is way better than this? What If is the best?
And so on 2022 so far, Goo, I've only watched 3 shows. I don't know where you're at. Book of Boba Fett, Murderville, which was pretty good. And this might actually be the best show of 2022 so far. So I don't know if that's saying
much. Because those other 3 shows, I didn't see Afterlife yet, but the other 2 shows
I haven't finished Afterlife yet, so I'm still
had trouble holding my attention. This at least pulled me in and I was watching it. I wasn't necessarily loving it, but I was there.
Murderville, I'll talk a little bit at the end, but very uneven. Very uneven.
Okay.
And that was sort of by design by the show.
Hey, Mac, how about we go ahead and dip into the octagon?
Ooh, yeah.
First one up here is Fun Factor. Did this show have enough fun for you? And for me, And it's really an expectations thing, and it's a James Gunn thing, but not enough fun for me.
Yeah, I think because we love James Gunn so much, you know, him and Taika Waititi are sort of in this rarefied air where everything they touch, I'm assuming it's going to be gold. And when we just get silver like this, we're a little disappointed.
I think what we need to start doing, though, is Taika always expect greatness, and Gunn hope for greatness.
Okay, fair.
Because
Taika's been better.
I haven't necessarily been burned by Gunn. Like, I was disappointed by Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah, I'm much higher on that.
I know, but
so
I was a little disappointed by that, but that's because I went in expecting 40 hot dogs.
Right. No, I get that. I get that. But to your point, I just thought we were going to be in for more fun in general.
Fun, laughter.
A lot of the fun, quote-unquote fun here, was 3 minutes at the beginning of episodes in that box truck. And, like, it just wasn't good enough for me. Like, I thought there was going to be a lot more, and I made this point at the top. At the end of the first episode, beginning of the second episode, when he jumps out of the apartment building after he bangs that banshee butterfly woman, she gets crunched or whatever. And then the couple from the apartment building, the girl wants to bang him. So I loved that thing where she was like, that character was great. I thought there was going to be more of that. That was funny to me. To me, that was the funniest thing of the whole season. So I just wanted thematically it to be a little more like that. And it was a little heavier than that. Because there was so much like murder hijinks in the Suicide Squad between him and Bloodsport, and we didn't even get a lot of that either. So we just never reached the height of that movie or of the Guardians movies. And so when we come in with that in mind and it comes in below that, you're like, eh.
Mac, for Satisfactor, I think kind of because I do believe that the season finale was my favorite episode, so that's leaving with a nice little taste in my mouth.
Yeah, not for me. I was pretty unsatisfied because I wanted some more superhero stuff, wanted some more helmet stuff, I wanted some more creative Peacemaker kills. I have a spoiler thing here that was kind of satisfying that I'll talk to when we get to spoilers. So I do like that there were some ramifications from the conclusion of the show.
Yeah,
but during the run of the show, I was left wanting more for sure.
Barometer, not really, like kind of, but the show is pretty even.
I thought there was a little bit of bore each episode. There was a lull in each episode, you know, whether we're back, you know, meeting at the office or whatever. There was a little bit of lull in each episode. Not a ton, but a little bit.
Halloween. Will your interest in this show go down over time? Will it wane? Probably. I don't see myself revisiting this.
Yeah, I think it lacks. The biggest mistake, I think, is it lacks that one rewatchable scene.
Yeah.
And I think they really went for it in the finale. When they tried to do a Kingsman-esque, like, church-like scene and then in the field there, and it just didn't even get anywhere close to that, did not reach that level. And so I think if that episode or this season had a scene like that, it would get a little more play. It'd be popping up on YouTube or on Twitter. But you haven't seen, like, this show popping up on any of those feeds at all.
Like, say if it had a scene, much like in The Suicide Squad, where Harley Quinn got out of the shackles and then went on that murder rampage, looks awesome. I love that scene.
Just one really, really cool thing. And we didn't really get that. We got a lot of that was decent.
Pants Tan City. Excite Bike Mania. Did anything from this show get you going?
I like the idea that he has all these different helmets and they all do different things. Mm-hmm. I really like that idea. They didn't do enough of it, honestly.
Also, what's good about that is that it is funny that he has to carry around a giant sack of helmets.
Yeah, in the trunk of the car.
Aquator. Is this movie better or worse than Aquaman? I will say better.
Affirmative. I agree. Okay.
Hello, Mac. This is William Hung. G-bang. Hello, Mac. This is William Hung. And you deserve so much credit. I wish you would mention Spice World on the show more.
G-bang.
Hello, Mac.
Come at us, Billy H. Who do you got, Mac?
I'm going to give credit to Cena here. I know it's the easy answer, but I thought he was great the whole way through. And to me, it showed he's more than just this one-note sort of comedic actor. Mm. It shows he can be dramatic and emotional. And so I'm pretty interested to see where this character and where he goes in general from here.
Yeah.
I honestly, the biggest issue, I think, and maybe plays into your point, he never had a good enough foil for him during the season. It was just a lot of him and not enough him bouncing off other things. And so I think if they get another 1B, like a Bloodsport. He's going to play up a lot more.
Yeah.
But I also will say Jennifer Holland was great, and Judo Master made me laugh every time he was on the screen.
I will give credit to the finale for making me care a little bit about characters that I didn't necessarily love the entire year, but I kind of got with them by the end, and it did pay off on some jokes, on some relationships, on some events throughout the entire season, so credit to them.
Credit to them.
Credit to them. For those of you tardy to the Mac and Goo party, we rate everything on a 40 hot dog basis. Mac, I guess I'll let you go first this time.
My main feeling and takeaway here is I know a lot of people that have watched this show that haven't even seen The Suicide Squad or really aren't into a lot of comic book stuff. And it seems like they're liking the show a lot more than you or I or folks that we talk to often. And so that I'm coming away feeling like this show was made for folks that aren't necessarily fans of James Gunn or comic book movies, or at least not yet. And by that, I mean, it went a little more conservative and a little more low key in hopes of roping in a broader audience, you know, not turning anyone off. And then maybe once you get that audience in season two, we go full gun, right? We go full what James Gunn is capable of doing with, you know, with these characters and with a potential story. Because it did feel like the show had a bit of a restrictor plate on it. It felt like DC told him not to do certain things when he wanted to do certain things. And to me, and we use it all the time, you kind of used it earlier. To me, the show just hit a bunch of singles. They did a lot of things decently, a lot of things good. The general public is pretty easy to please these days, and that shows in the Rotten Tomatoes score. But I just simply wanted more. I wanted home runs, and we didn't get any home runs.
Yeah.
And so I feel like between gun and off the beaten path type of stuff, which this is, there's 40 dog potential there. And I don't think we came anywhere close to 40 hot dogs. And it's a bummer that we didn't get the full potential. I think we could in season two if DC lets him just do truly whatever he wants. But like, I didn't like, you know, the diary thing during the season. I didn't like, you know, the butterflies. There's a thing with Adebayo's character that I did not like. And again, you know, James Gunn has just absolutely nailed these, you know, his team up, high humor, hijink stuff, things. And it just, this just fell short of that. And so ultimately I really liked all of the characters and it has me looking forward to season two and where they could go. But I just have a hard time giving it any more than like 32 hot dogs. I really feel like the roof was capped off here by, you know, the villains and or lack thereof during the season.
What sucks is that I also have it at 32 hot dogs. And it's not even purely based off of my enjoyment watching the show. I just thought that overall, everything in it was completely fine. Like nothing truly amazed me. There weren't any great kills. There weren't any great scene-stealing moments. There weren't a lot of laugh-out-loud moments for me. And I was expecting more. I was expecting Guardians level stuff, the Suicide Squad level stuff, and we never truly got there, but everything was done well. We got to a point. The characters, I liked them well enough. I didn't love them. I wasn't in love with them. Like Guardians, I'm in love with those characters. The Suicide Squad, I love a lot of those characters now. I was never truly like on the edge of my seat waiting to see what happened with these characters. And even in that final scene, that final episode, maybe you kill someone off. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's a bit spoilery, I guess, but
a little higher stake.
A little higher stake, maybe. But again, I don't know. What do I know? But 32, everything in this is good. I could not give this like a C because storytelling-wise, it's above that. Action-wise, it's above that. It's perfectly adequate.
Well, like that. So, like, you know, the story they wanted to tell, they paced it well and they did it well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the content of the story I didn't care about. Like, I just did not care
about
that.
Just once again.
And I don't think anyone did.
The stuff with his father just bored me and it just did not pay off for me. And I understand that it's like the big character building moment for him, but is it?
Goo. Let's run over the DCEU real quick here.
Yeah.
At the bottom, I got Suicide Squad at 16.
Same.
So that would be what, 10th, 11th, 12th? I don't know how many things we got at this
point. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Baker's Dozen.
So at 12 is Suicide Squad.
I'm sorry, 11. I just said Baker's Dozen. That's actually 13. I just a normal dozen.
At 11, I got Rhymers. Wonder Woman 1984, 20 hot dogs.
Yep, I'm right there.
That has really gone way down for me.
Yep.
Aquaman is holding fast and strong at 24. It is the Aquator. Mm-hmm. I got BVS, Batman vs. Superman, one dog above at 25.
I would flip those two, but
I would
same
still rather
area
watch that over okay Aquaman, but it's not worth the argument.
Same area.
I got the Snyder Cut just above BVS. I have the original Justice League just above the Snyder Cut because it didn't need an extra 4 years to produce the same fucking
I'm not arguing thing that. I've always said we didn't need the Snyder Cut, but the Snyder Cut right is better.
It's not. I got Birds of Prey just ahead of Justice League. And then I have a little bit of a step up here. And I know I'm higher on this movie than
it's
most.
It's a bigger step up.
I have Man of Steel at fourth. Maybe tied with this, maybe ahead of this. So I think this is in Man of Steel range for me. Fourth or fifth is Peacemaker. Tied with Man of Steel, just ahead, just behind. And then the top three, of course, Wonder Woman third at 34 dogs. I still keep Wonder Woman there. There's still some really great moments from that movie. The last 20 minutes just suck.
Yeah.
Shazam at 36 and the Suicide Squad at 37.
Yeah, so I'm at the same with you. Suicide Squad at number 12, Wonder Woman 11, Batman vs. Superman, sorry, V Superman, colon, Dawn of Justice, Aquaman at number 8, Justice League. You can flip that and Aquaman around a little bit. The Whedon cut. Man of Steel. So now, I think Man of Steel is a fine movie, but it's a bad lead-off to this universe because it set into motion the whole Snyder thing.
So I don't know if it was ever intended to be the lead-off.
I know, but
I think they
it
made
is,
it and then they
and it copied the
forward
aesthetic from that movie for all of these movies, and I,
know, I
don't
I
love that. And
I know,
think
I get that.
I hold I it against that. That.
Okay, fair. Well, then that's sort of in the same vein. I hold stuff against, you know, Snyder Cut.
Like, okay, so Snyder Cut it. Number 6, I like the emancipation of Harley Quinn more than other people, Birds of Prey. Mm-hmm. I just think that that is just fun, campy garbage, and I truly enjoy it, and I still love Black Mask in that. I don't have the sound on the board. I'll add it in post, but you're a fucking moron.
That was super embarrassing. You're a fucking moron.
And then I would have this right around Birds of Prey, like right under.
So do you have Birds of Prey fourth?
Yes. I got more enjoyment / laughter, lols, and maybe they are not intentional lols from Birds of Prey, but you sat with me. I died in the theater.
You did. You actually did.
I was the only person laughing, but I fucking died in the theater.
Me laughing at you was harder than any of my laughs in Peacemaker.
I just could not stop. But I would have it right sandwiched in between Birds of Prey and the Snyder Cut. Like right
okay
in there.
All right.
And yeah, then top three are the exact same as you.
Yeah, so we're sort of, you know, we've got the guts are different for us for DC, but we're sort of seeing this as the same with, you know, slightly different criticisms.
Yeah.
And if there are people that love this season, maybe they know more
that's
about
fine
the butterfly stuff and other stuff, and maybe it means more to them. I just felt like it could have been a lot better. It was good.
So let's go ahead and do a little bit of spoilers. We're not going to do the big
spoiler,
episode
spoiler
rundown.
Spoiler.
But I think there's two talking points, actually three talking points. Number one, what is the deal with his father? Was that a ghost dad? Is his father still alive?
Yeah, he's got a ghost dad for
got
sure.
Got a ghost dad now?
Yeah.
It's weighing
yeah
on his conscience type of thing.
Goo. I think the biggest thing here right off the bat, the finale cameos.
Yes.
We get Aquaman, the Flash, Superman, and Wonder Woman. But we get a faceless Superman and a faceless Wonder
right
Woman.
Right, right.
Which tells you all you need to know about those two characters and who's not playing them going forward. But we do see Jason Momoa and Ezra Miller interact, you know, kind of like fuck you, Peacemaker sort of thing, which was a nice little scene.
But I also love the fact that you weren't expecting to see any of their actual faces, and that it actually was Jason Momoa.
Yeah, yeah. It actually was Momoa. It actually was Miller. Because they panned down. You thought it was going to be almost like the Shazam post-credit, right?
Yeah.
Where they give you that little tease, but you don't see any faces, and then you get that little bit of dialogue. So that was a nice little thing.
But I also love it because we say during every other show, where are the Avengers? Where is
right
every other hero? And
right
as they show up, Peacemaker says, you're all fucking late.
Yeah. I like that Superman's just floating the whole time too.
Yeah.
And then we get finally, she's talked about during the season, we get Viola Davis as Amanda Waller getting thrown under the bus by her daughter Adebayo. Now, I didn't care for the quote unquote reveal that Adebayo is her daughter. I don't think it changes anything for the character. I thought still she was just like a loyal underling. It would have worked either way. I think they wanted to give that moment a little more gravity at the end when Adebayo comes forward and calls out her mother. Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever. I just hate Amanda Waller so much that I didn't care who was calling her out. So that, like, that big reveal just didn't do it for me.
And then also in the finale, were you expecting him not to turn heel, but to turn back in to kind of who he was? So he ended up killing the final butterfly, or actually he let the butterfly go, but he killed the person that had the butterfly in them. And
he shot her in the chest.
Right.
You noticed
not
that.
In the head, and the butterfly left.
No, the butterfly's there at the end. He feeds the butterfly.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I was so swept up by the dad.
But I also thought there was going to be a tie-in here, because you're still sort of like, how did Peacemaker survive? So in the back of my head, I thought, is Peacemaker a butterfly? I thought we might get like some sort of reveal like that. Obviously, that wasn't the case. But I did like, as much as I don't like Amanda Waller, I did like that the show had some bigger world ramifications, right? So now the Suicide Squad stuff and Amanda Waller, who's been a primary player in
Exposed.
The DCU the last couple years. Yeah, there's actually something that's going to affect the DC universe going forward. So I did like that there was more than zero stakes. There was at least a stake on the table.
Mm-hmm. Possible pants tent moment would be killing the gorilla, maybe?
Okay,
question mark?
Yeah, true.
Like, that wasn't bad.
Yep, that's true. Yep, in the basement there. There was some good stuff.
But actually, great point. Stuff. I think either Billy D or Wesley Sykes in our group chat might have said this, that if you're a butterfly, why don't you have an army of like rhinos, elephants, apes?
100%.
Like, right. How is that the only gorilla that they had?
Yeah, and it seems like they can sort of communicate telepathically somehow.
Yeah.
So why even bother taking humans? Get gorillas, get apes, get something that can actually
lions,
take
tigers.
Over the planet. Yeah, get a whole armada.
That
would have
been a
zoo animals.
Dope final scene of like Cena punching tigers.
Fighting a whole zoo would have been fucking sick.
Or if
one
of
awesome.
Them took over like an eagle and he had to fight a bald eagle.
Right. Oh, you know what? Good point. Eagly did nothing all season. I thought he was going to do one cool thing. He did nothing. No thing.
Well, you
Not
thought
one.
He was going to do something and then he lost the helmet.
Yeah, like, give me some payoff with Eagly there.
Yeah.
Let him like dive bomb and take out a couple guys. I don't know. Eagles are gigantic fucking birds. Let him do one cool thing and he did nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'm at 32.
I'm at 32 and there's no way it's going to go up. I could see it coming down a couple dogs. But again, I do think because we seemingly like all of the characters or most of the characters, and there's a lot of shit still on the table for season two. I hope they can get into more weird villains or more weird adventures. But I think season two is undoubtedly going to be better than season one.
And I agree with you that they need to bring in someone that's almost to his equal. Like, you need someone that is there right up against Peacemaker, either
right.
on his side or on the other side, that can steal the show.
Yeah, because Vigilante is too much just happy to be there.
Yeah.
We need another alpha for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into Maxack.
And Maxack could be anything. It could be a boat. And this week,
what have you been watching lately? Keep it short. Tell me right now.
Goo.
Yeah.
It seems we both watched this, Murderville, on Netflix.
Yes. I thought it was okay.
I thought it was better than okay, but I absolutely loved the Conan and Kumail episodes.
Okay.
I thought those were hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Their reactions and them actually like playing a character in that universe was great. Whereas the other episodes, well, Annie Murphy was pretty good too. She went in for it. She wasn't as good as Conan and Kumail, but she went for it. Marshawn was just all right. I liked him playing.
I like Marshawn more than you did.
Okay, fair. Sharon Stone was fucking terrible. She's got zero investigative skills. Mm-hmm. She was horrible. And then Ken Jeong was incredibly unfunny, as Ken Jeong usually is. And so it was a pretty uneven season, but I really liked two of the episodes, liked two more, and didn't like two. So 4 for 6, what's that? 667? I would give it a C+, maybe overall.
Yeah, I'd say like a C-minus. And I really liked in the Marshawn episode when he asked if his aunt was a vase. That made me laugh really hard.
The concept of it is so highbrow,
yeah.
though. Like, getting people to actually commit to doing this, like, that's terrifying, especially for non-actors like Marshawn Lynch. I just thought it was going to be more serialized. I didn't realize it was going to be single episodes like that. And so the fact that they actually had to guess the killer at the end, I thought was a great twist. I didn't expect that. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. So I'm hoping for a season two, but I want more Conan and Kumail type guests, more people that can also make jokes instead of just laughing at Will Arnett.
Do you want Will Arnett to come back as the main character?
Yeah, I really liked Will Arnett. Okay. And he did a good job leading people without being overt about it.
Okay.
And I'm not even a huge Will Arnett guy. You are. You're the Will Arnett guy.
Can you ask me what I've been watching? Can you ask me what I've been watching?
Goo, what have you been watching?
Well, it is Oscar season. It's award season. And yes, we are getting ready to finally do our Mac and Goo vault.
Like
that'll
weeks,
be happening maybe next month, just before the Oscars. And I was able to catch up on two movies, and neither very good.
Well, what were they, Goo? What movies?
Okay, so first one is the movie that some people have said is the best movie of the year, and that is Licorice Pizza.
Yeah.
And this is a movie that you might like. I don't know, but is it nostalgia that people like in this? Like the era that it's set in? Is it something like that? Because for me, this movie felt like it was just the two leads in a disjointed story with a bunch of vignettes that leads you to the end of the movie where you expect them to go. But also, keep this in mind, the two main characters, 25-year-old girl, 15-year-old boy.
Mm.
Also, this 15-year-old boy has like three different businesses in the movie. A lot of it is like, wait, what?
So, it's not the same, and I know it's not the same, but the sentiment you're talking about right now, I sort of echoed. I watched The Tender Bar last month. Have you watched this one yet?
No.
The Affleck one.
Okay.
I sort of felt the same thing. I saw a lot of people absolutely loving it online. Mm-hmm. And then I came away with like that was it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was super long, too. This is a long, long movie. My wife also called it some white people shit. But,
well, Paul Thomas Anderson. So.
And you also have Bradley Cooper here, who is playing a character, John Peters, that, you know, like, I get the joke, you get the joke, but if someone's just watching it, they're like, who is this crazy character that he's playing?
Right, right.
Oh, it's Barbara Streisand's husband? Okay.
I think, though, if you're going to watch a Paul Thomas Anderson flick, you're probably in on that joke, though, no?
Maybe.
Okay.
Like, are you in on the guy that wanted a spider in the Superman movie? And then finally got it in the Wild Wild West?
Oh, God.
And started as a hairdresser and then married Barbara Streisand? Once again, the joke was not lost on me, but it's a bit much.
Yeah, I'm still going to watch it. I'm still going to watch
it. No, watch it. You might like it more than I did, but
okay.
I just felt like every couple of scenes, it was like something different.
I'll tell you this right now. You won't like The Tender Bar. Don't watch Tender Bar.
I like Ben Affleck, though. But both from Boston.
Although Watertown is in the movie in like the very first scene.
I do like that.
Bemis Park. I hit some dongs there back in the day. The issue, though, in that first scene or second scene of The Tender Bar at the playground, you can very clearly see solar panels on a roof in the background.
Yeah.
And this is set in like 1971.
Jeez. I also saw The House of Gucci. And let me tell you this right now. Gaga and Driver are really, really good in it. Gaga, powerhouse performance. She's great.
Greater than Driver.
She's asked to, you know, be bigger. Like Driver is supposed to be like this small, kind of feeble man who's, you know, being dragged around by her. And then by the end, he's his own man. But the pacing and the tone of this is very odd because it is a story of, you know, a couple that eventually gets to the point, and this is a true story, of she has him killed. So it's kind of like a dark comedy, but it's not really funny.
Right.
And it's all of the 2 hours and 40 minutes that it is. And just when the story, when you're like, oh, I want to see more of this, the movie's over.
I was going to say, is it one of those things that like once it gets going, it's good?
No.
Or just the whole time?
No,
it's
no. So I would say like it's good at the beginning. And then once they introduce Pacino and Jared Leto, Pacino's playing himself once again. We expected that. Jared Leto gives an all-time bad performance for a major motion picture.
You're not the first person I've heard say that. There's a lot of people that have said that he is downright fucking
like,
terrible in this
movie. I laughed at everything he said.
Now,
his accent in this was Mario. Not even Italian. He was Mario.
We got to start asking, because we got to be fair. You know, at least I do enough, you know, questioning and killing of actors and directors. At what point are we going to say Jared Leto doesn't have it anymore, or he lost it, or he never had it?
Oh, no.
Maybe he got lucky a couple
father,
times.
He does not like my design.
Dude, what's the last Leto role that was awesome to you? Dallas Buyers Club?
That was very good. Possibly
that's probably
that.
The last one. Yeah.
But he was doing the thing where he was over-pronunciating, over-enunciating, like a vowel at the end of all of his sentences, which every single time made me laugh.
He does too much.
Do you know what he needs? More of this, sir?
Good. He needs a no guy. He's got to get a no guy. He needs a no guy. He needs someone there to say, Jared, no.
Like, do you think they were sitting there going like, this is gold. This is hilarious. The people are going to shit their pants when they see this
accent. And you know he was. He probably spent 4 hours a day practicing an Italian accent. But he needs a no guy.
There's no way that's possibly true.
I bet it is. I bet Mac, it is, because he's that big
now,
of a
I know that you don't plan on watching this. If you can watch a sizzle reel of just Leto, you're going to die.
My point is, though, he got so into it that he lost what it was. So he was practicing it for 4 hours a day, and he got so deep that he got cartoonish, but he thought it was the best thing going.
Oh, no. Oh, my cousin. Oh, why are you doing this to me? Yeah.
He sounded like Borat half the time. He's going to like Borat.
People need no guys.
Well,
no, I don't care about the gender. People just need another person to say no. They need a person on their hip telling them no.
And also, guys, heads up right now. The King's Man is, you have on HBO Max. I thought it was on Hulu. I think it's on both.
On
actually, it might be on both.
Maybe it's on Hulu, but it's definitely on the Max.
Yeah, I'll watch it soon.
So
Rasputin.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that as well.
Yeah.
So I think by the time we do the Guivant, I'm going to be close to 50 2021 releases.
Yeah, I'm at 48 right now. But also, I think The King's Man is not 2021.
It was
is
December
it?
21, 21st
okay.
or 22nd.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. All right.
So I think I'm at 41 or 42. And by the time we do it, I should have another 4 or 5. So, well, that's good enough for a year that sucked. So,
Mac, where can you find us?
You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at Mac and Goo Podcast. On every other platform, we are Mac ampersand Goo. That includes Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, Spreaker, Google Play, iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify. Subscribe to us, rate us, review us there. But more importantly, on Apple Podcasts, if you could give us a 5-star rate, review, subscription, we'll get you a free t-shirt from the folks over at Watertown Sportswear. That's Watertown Sportswear on 34 Mod Auburn Street in Watertown. WatertownSportswear.com, expert screen printing and embroidery.
TheRepublic.com.
A merch.
My father, he not like my designs.
Everyone try and sit through 2 hours and 40 minutes of this.
No. Not possible.
Yeah. There was a nice sex scene, though.
Oh, yeah. With Gaga?
Yeah, Gaga and Driver.
Topless?
No. And, like, I would
Driver
say
topless?
More. Like, she bangs him.
Oh.
She doesn't get behind him or nothing, but like,
yeah, no pegging.
She is the force.
I get it.
Hey, you might like that scene actually. Yeah.
You lay back and I'll do the hip thing.
No, yeah. she was on her back and she was still like creating all the power.
She was like wrapped. She was wrapped.
Kinda.
Now I'm gonna have to watch it.
She was the one that was creating the power.
Power bottom.
Not necessarily a bottom though. But
what were they in a bed?
No, desk.
Oh, so it's a different angle because she's higher up on the desk.
Right.
Was it? Was there a black couch in the background?
There wasn't black couches in the 70s, right?
There wasn't?
I don't know. I wasn't alive. I wouldn't know. That's the reason why I didn't like licorice pizza. I wasn't alive. If I was alive during that time, I'd be like, this is right up my alley.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this next Friday, we'll have our March Madness brackets ready to go. We have... Maybe. Well, no, we have to for Friday. That's what the episode is. We're pretty much done. It's not that hard.
I don't think it has to be out on March or on March 1st.
Well, no, I'm saying that we're announcing it, though. We're not going to have it ready.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was. Okay, we're on the same page there.
Guys, we're announcing it. We're mentally preparing you for it. And then we're going to release it on the 1st, 5 or 6 days later. And then we'll start doing the whole Twitter poll thing 5 or 6 days after that. There's going to be plenty of time for everyone to get their panties out of a bunch and let's get these polls going. Let's poll. Tuesdays are goose days. I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.